Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network. We got to get ready to get started here. And like we always start, we have to say the grace. The grace is we want to thank you all for listening. We're competing for ears. There's thousands of podcasts. You can listen to anybody, but you choose to listen to me. So I definitely appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen to Running the Point. Today I have a guest. Today I'd like to welcome, for the first time on the show, I think we're going to have him a couple of times. This is how I'm feeling. I feel like this guy may show up again. Mr. Byron Jamal, welcome to the show, sir. Welcome to the show.
I'm so glad to be on. Thank you for having me, and hopefully you're doing well today.
Doing excellent, excellent. Man, Byron is an author and a motivational speaker, amongst other things, and you'll find out, I'm sure, in this conversation. But what he is first on top of everything, he went to Norfolk State. I'm from Virginia, so I'm excited about that. I'm from Virginia, so if you went to a school in Virginia and it's an HBCU, so I love it. Let's go for Norfolk State.
Behold the green and gold all day long, brother.
Now, I'm going to give you some love, man. I went to A&T Aggie Pride, but when it was love all the way across the board, so I got to show love for that. Now, it says you also got an advanced degree from Queens University. I got questions. So my question is, I've never heard of Queens University, so are you from the area? Because that's the only way you would know about this university is how I feel. Or is it just it's specialized? Yeah. Tell me about it.
Queens University of Charlotte is old school. But the business program was actually started by the old CEO of Bank of America. And so that MBA program that's specific to them, it funnels a lot of the people that leave that MBA program into many of the major banks. You know, Charlotte is the second banking capital for, for the country.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the headquarters for those banks are there. So it actually funnels a lot of bank executives through that program.
So it's not Queens, New York. It's Queens City, Charlotte. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. I happen to be in Charlotte right now, which is crazy.
I love Charlotte, man.
Yeah, I happen to be in Charlotte right now. So on location, on the go. You know, I take the show with me. No matter where I am, I'm ready to go.
Wherever you go.
That's right, man. So that's awesome. That was my first question, man. That's like, wait a minute, Queens University, is it in Queens, New York? Is he from Queens? So where are you from? Where are you from, actually?
So I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut, but we moved down to Charlotte when I was a kid. And so I grew up there, had a lot of great experiences in Charlotte, and moved back a few times because my family's still there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Love for North Carolina. See, I went to school in North Carolina. You really grew up in Charlotte. It's some connections here, man. It's some connections. I told you. I had a feeling that this would not be a one-time thing.
I love it.
So let's get into the reason that you're on a media tour right now for the release of your new book, Successful Love, Navigating the Six Phases of Love. Right, and
yes.
You said six phases. That's very specific. Do they need to read the book to find out what the six phases are?
No, I can actually say what they are because it helps people to find out where they are. So there's six phases, the single phase, which we're all born into. Mm-hmm. Then it's the dating phase, the relationship phase, the engagement phase, the marriage phase, and the divorce phase. They're very strategic, and each one is built out of my experiences of love coaching and pastoring for many years, and being able to identify that each one is necessary and in its own way. So that's why the six phases are here now.
Okay. Look, I told you he was amongst many things. He dropped pastoring in there. So let's put another comma in the bio. Comma, pastor as well. I could hear you had the Southern Baptist pastor vocals on when you came on. I was like,
right. I mean, it comes out. It always comes out at some point. Especially when I get into talking about something I really love
yeah.
and really know, it pops out. It pops out.
So what made you go down this path? Because one relationship path is either saturated it can be saturated. What made you go down the path of relationship and love? What's your passion for that?
Well, I think my unique experience and the reason why I stand out in the field of a lot of different people is because I was a former pastor. In that role, a pastor is really a love coach. Mm-hmm. A pastor is, well, that's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to help you fall in love inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly. Inwardly with yourself, upwardly with God, and outwardly with other people. And so I learned from that position how to help people find love in themselves and with others. And so I take that into my love coaching, where I don't feel like I'm as restricted in many of the religious hindrances or constraints that are in religious settings. And so being free now to help any and everybody with any and everything really helps me stand out in a field that, like you mentioned, is a little bit crowded.
Okay. As a CEO of The Call Path, I was like, that sounded, without even knowing, because I didn't know you were you had a pastor background, that sounded like it was there had some religious connections to that. Is that right, or it just sounds like that?
No, it is. It actually started when I was still pastoring. It was something that I was venturing into that I had on the side. It was kind of my side business, a way to help people connect with their purpose. Mm-hmm. It's really simple, the breakdown of what the name is. It simply says that everyone has a calling, and that calling is on a unique path. And that finding your path and finding your calling, merging the two, is what helps you live a fulfilled life.
All right. This man sounds like you know what he's talking about. Sounds like you need to listen. That's what I feel. Sounds like we got to listen. And that's halfway. I'm being an artist and having an artist background. You know, part of it is the voice and then having some knowledge. When you're speaking with the right voice and some knowledge, people will listen. People will listen. So you could be selling anything right now. So I'm glad you're down this path. You could sell anything right now, bro.
I'm here for it, brother.
You got it, bro. For real. All right. So a couple things. It said I read your bio and author of a plethora of books. Is that just good writing or because plethora is a big word, man? Plethora of books.
It is.
That's a good. I'm a lover of words. So plethora of books. I said, hey, man, that's a good word. So is it just propaganda? Or this man is really putting out these books. So tell us a little bit about your author background.
Absolutely. Look, I went to school at Murphy State, and I started originally through a scholarship program that was for applied sciences. So I was originally going to be a doctor. I had written plays and things like that in my teenage years for my church. And so I had kind of played with my writing gift before. But I went to this advanced writing course at Norfolk State. And in it, the teacher was like, you are amazing. And you should really be an English major. And that was at the same time I wasn't doing well in my science class. Mm. So I actually dropped the scholarship and went full time into an English degree.
Wow.
It just fit. I became the president of our English club. I started writing, was the editor for the yearbook. Like it just
flourished.
My life
when you
was
went
nothing
over.
Like that before. And then suddenly I became a writer.
Wow.
And have been writing ever since.
That speaks to something that we talk about on our morning show, just talking about finding your passion and finding your purpose and how you can flourish in it. Like you sound like you may have been floundering a little bit in something that you thought you wanted to do, but where you needed to be, once you found that, and it was just a flourishing. I find that a lot of people need to find that thing.
You have to find your call path, man. You have to find the space that doesn't just fit what you think you want to do, but actually fits what you are and who you are. Because I always say this, a seed that's planted in the right space, it doesn't take much for it to grow. But something that's in a bad space or the space that's not right for it, it takes so much more effort and energy for that thing to produce the same amount that something in the right place would have.
I love that. Hey, man, you dropping jewels on them today. dropping jewels on them today. I like to pause sometimes, like, hold on. Man, they're going to get on me because I said I was going to have this bell. Every time somebody drop a jewel, you got to hit this. It's the jewel bell. And I keep forgetting to have the bell. I got my whole setup. I forgot the bell today. So,
you got to have your bell, brother.
You got to have a bell. I got to give you a verbal ding. Ding. So, I got to have the bell because the jewels are going to come. The jewels are going to come. So, I do find that when people go down the relationship path in motivational speaking, writing, things of that nature, they also find a target audience. Or is your message for the men, for black men? Is it for women? Is it just for people? What is your message actually? Who is your message for?
So I can say that my audience has predominantly been African American women between the ages of 25 and 45. It's a 20-year gap there. Mm. However, because of the way that I live and because of the type of person I am, my message is still universal. I get a lot of people who are in my inbox. I've always been for those who are disenfranchised. And so those in the LGBT community attract to my message because it is universal. Those who are divorced attract to my message. Those who are who have been in precarious situations in their past, who may have done some OnlyFans work, may have been a stripper, may have worked the streets. These are people that attract to me, or just people who have had a lot of sexual partners. Mm-hmm. These are people that attract to my message because I come from a very non-judgmental space. And I just want people from wherever they are, to find love from that point forward.
Mm. Okay. All right. Perfect answer to that question. And it breeds another question for me. Do you think, because you said predominantly predominantly women of a certain age group, do you think it's because men don't really search out, like, the answer to relationship? Is that a bravado thing where we just think, hey, man, it's always, I'm a man and I'll figure it out, or man, I'm a man, I got it. I find that it's usually women that are searching for the answers or searching to have better relationships. Is it just because how men and women, from your belief, do you just think it's how men and women are built different? Is it just men don't care? What do you find?
Yeah, I find that men want to be a part of that. Men want to be in that conversation. When I interview men, they are hungry to have information and want to soak it up. I think what does that, though, is men just naturally aren't communicative. We aren't taught to be that way, especially with matters of the heart. And so it takes a moment for a man to break down the wall and open up, but I have had some magic moments with men in conversations once they feel comfortable. It's like having a beer with your homeboy. It's like, mm-hmm. in that moment, you're able to talk about some stuff you ordinarily don't, but until you fill that space. Now, posit that with a woman, she will do that at any moment. On the bus, in the hair salon, just walking down the street and bumping into somebody. She will, in the grocery store, she will be fine with having that conversation. So it's a different mentality, but everybody wants to have the conversations that will help them love better and be loved better.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. I feel like a lot of... So you're saying that men, they have it in them. They just... Men have to be comfortable. They got to find a comfortable space or safe space to have these conversations. And we do. We take a lot of time to deliberate and figure out, like, is this a safe space? I'm not going to sound like a sucker. Is he about to tell that I was in here crying?
Yes,
the dude's
exactly.
Got to go through all those levels of all those qualifiers before we have those conversations. Be like, all right, I don't know. No, I'm not sure. Let me read one more book. That's where guys are.
That's it. For real. That's it.
So this is going to lead us into our jump ball a bit. You have a... there's a quote here from, I believe, from one of your publications, and it talks about the rise of social platforms. The rise of social platforms and busy work schedules makes us substitute healthy relationships with quick hookups and one-night stands. This means divorce rates keep rising, singleness, and by extension, loneliness are becoming the norm. That's why you need a practical and inspiring guide to help you chart a new path towards life filled with love and trust. Byron Jamal. What that brought me to, though, is this question here. What are the residual effects of social media on relationships? We live in a fast life. Social media is just a part of life. And it's because we're moving so fast, you see everything. What are the residual effects? Because I have my thoughts, but I want to hear what are your thoughts on the residual effects of social media on dating and relationships?
That's a great question. We are certainly in the social media era. It's the era of people being over-informed, overstimulated with everything. Mm-hmm. And because of that, if a person is not intentional about what they take in and how they take it in and how much they take of it in, then they will end up being what I call the jack of all trade lovers. Mm. They will say, oh, I like a little bit of this. So what they'll do is they'll see one picture where it's a couple and they're happy. And then they'll read a quote that says, men ain't nothing but dogs. And then they're sad again. And then they'll go back and see another picture of a couple. And they're now confused about what to feel on the third image, because one part of them says, I want love and I believe in love. And the other part says, love's not possible. It's too challenging. It's too difficult. Mm. And so there's this bipolar mentality that happens. Not something that's like you were born bipolar, but something that was induced by you taking in information that conflicts with what you want.
Dang.
And that's the culture we have today.
I agree. I think I agree with you in that sense right there. It's almost like you know how when people go to the buffet and there's just so much food, you don't eat nothing? I feel like it's that syndrome. A lot of people face that. But you said something. I don't want to step on what you just said, because you were saying just a bipolar mentality when you go in there and you just don't know what to think after you looking at all of those images. It's a level of confusion that you created for yourself. That's major.
Yes.
That's a major.
We have that tendency. We're leaning as a culture towards the uncertainty of who we are and what we want. So much of my coaching, when I'm love coaching people, is to help them realize you don't have to live with the pain of what you don't have. Think about a person who wants to be in a relationship so bad, and that's all they think about. That's all they consider. That's all that's on their mind. So break it down. Literally in your mind, every day, you are thinking about what you don't have. You are refuting and negating and neglecting what you do have. And the universe works not based on what you say, but based on what you feel. Mm. And if you are living in a space where you're feeling like you don't have, and you have a void, if that's how you're feeling, that's what the universe is going to bring more of. It's going to bring more emptiness. It's going to bring more doubt. It's going to bring more failure. It's going to bring more heartbreak, because that's the energy that you're producing. So what you can do in that moment is actually start thinking about the feeling that you want to feel. I want to feel love. So what does love feel like? Love feels good. Love feels like clarity. Love feels like confidence. Love feels like faith. Love feels like security. And start bringing those feelings into your life and into your world. And then from there, you begin attracting it. So that what was already out there for you on your path is now attracted to you. You can see it more clearly.
Mm. I think that's a life philosophy that people need to apply, not only to love, but to finances, to happiness, to a lot of things. If you apply that same mentality, I think abundance will come from that. In other words, also stop reading social media Instagram quotes, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm joking. I want to say that because what I don't want people to hear in this is saying that you or I is saying that social media is the devil. It is social. We are in a social media era, but I think it's a lot like this coronavirus right now. We're treating the symptoms and not the sickness. And people think it ain't social media. It's not that. Social media isn't creating the problem. A lot of these problems, I think, a lot of the challenges that people are having is that level of confusion. But it is a lot. It's a lot of information. It's an overload of information on everything. It can be paralyzing. But I think people have to take the time to realize that. And I think that goes back to self-awareness. People have to realize that, you know what, this is too much. I am taking in too much. I got to sit down. Like buying a car. People, you know how many sites you can go to and review a car and review and find a car? Like back in the day, you had to go to the lot in your city. now we got the internet. They'll send you a car from Portland. You ain't never been to Portland. They'll send you a car.
That is the truth.
Yeah. And I think that to bring it back home, because you brought it up, I think that happens to people. I think they see every type of thing they like on the internet, and maybe not a third of that is in their neighborhood. So now they like, man, this ain't it yet, quote unquote. To them, they like, this is not it, because I've seen so much. It's got to be more. But I think you will hit the nail on the head to them coming back to what they're attracting, and get to the substance of it all.
Yes. You're spot on with that one, brother. You are spot on.
All right, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Let's get back to the book again. the book again. Successful love. Navigating the six phases of love. That's a big phrase, man. Successful love. Successful love. How would one define successful love? Because you had some success in your life, and we all realize that success is defined differently by each person. So when it comes to love, what is successful love in your eyes?
Well, I think this is why the single phase is so important, because we do define everything on our own terms. And being single, you have to know what successful love looks like with yourself. It is literally the foundation for every other phase of love. And so successful love looks like what successful with someone else looks like, what successful love looks like with you. So what is the question I ask then is, what does it mean to be successful when I have self-love? What does a successful day look like when I'm loving myself? Is that the day I'm going and taking care of myself? Is it working on a project that means something to me? Is it being with friends and family and those who care about me? Is it surrounding myself with positive images and positive phrases? Is it changing how I feel and how I think about things in my life? Is that what successful love looks like? Because if it is, then all I have to do is duplicate that with someone else, because the same feelings should be there with self-love as they are with my partner. And so if I don't feel that from somebody, it's not successful, because I know what it takes to make me feel successful love. That is why I encourage people to engage their single phase to the fullest. Because only in that phase, it's the only phase you get to be selfish. The only phase you get to focus on you without having to think about anyone else. In dating, you have to think about the date. In relationship, you're thinking about your partner. In engagement, you're thinking about your partner, but also thinking about what you're building together. In marriage, you have that whole process of life to live with someone else. And in divorce, you still have to consider someone else's feelings. But in singleness, you get to be selfish and think about you. What do I like? What don't I like? What do I want around me? What don't I want around me? Where do I want to go? Where don't I want to go? What do I want to feel like? And then you get to find that in someone else.
Take advantage of the single phase. That's the first time I heard that phrase, but and put the way you put it. But that's so true. Hey, man, it sounds like we need to get this book. This is what it sounds like. It sounds like everybody needs to get this book. man, women, and child needs you to get this book and apply it. Don't just get the book. People got bookshelves. They got tons of bookshelves of books that they got great titles, tons of information. They ain't never cracked one of them. Don't do that.
Not at all. But the good thing about this book is it is something that you can have in your library every phase of love. Open it up right to where you are. It starts off with a first section that's universal for everybody. And then each section, the next section after that, goes into the phases. And you are able to either start with the single phase, because even if you're married and pick up this book, you can honestly read back from the single phase and pick up the pieces that you forgot or that you failed to master along the way. And then literally redate your partner again. You know, go through the dating phase, date them again. Go back to the relationship phase. Pick up the tools that you forgot about or missed along the way. That's the whole point of this book, is that whatever phase you're at, you can hold this book for the rest of your life and it will guide you on some part of your journey.
Just like a pastor to produce a Bible.
Look.
This man,
like that, right?
This man that made the love Bible.
I mean, might as well. You just gave my next book title.
Hey, man, just, I'll tell you what, it's in the check. we could definitely have to get you on the morning show as well. So, again, because this goes right into the lane of some of the things we talk about on the morning show, and we'd love to have you on the morning show. I told you this won't be a one-time thing. We're going to keep this thing going. So love to get you on Morning Coffee Swig with myself and Steph Tiller. If they want to get the book, if someone wants to get a book, where do they need to go to get the book?
Real easy. You can go to ByronJamal.com, click on my store link, and it will take you right there to all of my products. I have shirts as well that say, I love me. That's like one of my favorite shirts to wear now. I don't think I'm wearing anything else. Like, that shirt speaks exactly to what I need to see every day. I have one for couples as well, I Love Us. And it's just a brilliant thing to surround yourself with love. So whatever book you get, whether it's my affirmation book, 31 Days to Attract More Love into Your Life, or even my novel about unlovable, helping you find love in the space that you're in, all of the books are geared toward helping you nail down and secure a firm foundation of love all around you, because that's what you need in order to really be fulfilled every day.
Mr. Jamal, I would like an opportunity to audition for the next play. Make sure you holler at me. I want to audition.
Hey, let's go.
I want to do it. I think we could sell some tickets, man. I feel like we could sell some tickets. We go on tour and everything. Let's make
I'm
it
here
happen.
For it.
I'm about it. HBCU love. So, yeah. Make sure you guys go to the website. Do you have social media? Speaking of that, do they have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? Is there a place for them to go follow you and like your brand?
Absolutely. All of the above. I'm easy to find. I think I did the right thing. Everything is just at Byron Jamal on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Easy to find. Again, the website, ByronJamal.com. So
branded.
However you want to, easy to reach out to as well.
Well branded. I love it. Well
make
branded.
Life easy on yourself.
Man, if you was like, yeah, it's B2JMall78, I'd be like, I would have went to sleep. I'd be like, I'm done, sir.
I never understood that.
I actually teach that.
First of all, my memory is not great enough
exactly
to keep up with all of that. So
yeah, I actually teach that social media, building your brand via social media. I actually teach that to people. So, and that's one of the things that I have to change in people immediately. The first thing is that right there. So on top of their terrible social media habits. But anyway,
hello.
Anyway, man, thank you guys for listening. Maybe I get ready to get out of here. JasonCarey.net. Make sure you go by the website. Follow Jason804 on all social platforms as well. We got t-shirts, we got mugs, hats, everything. So go out there and support something, listen to something. And again, thank you for supporting the ATL Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening to us right now, Pandora, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you might be listening to us, thank you so much for listening. We will get ready to get out of here. Byron Jamal, make sure you go and get his stuff. Support him. Successful Love. Navigating the Six Phases of Love. That's the new book. Please go out there and get that. It's Running the Point with Jason Carey. Uh-huh.